Good morning, Symphony Church, and happy Friday. We're finishing out our week with Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. At Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion of what was known as the Italian cohort, a devout man who feared God with all his household, gave alms generously to the people, and prayed continually to God. About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God come in and say to him, "Cornelius." And he stared at him in terror and said, "What is it, Lord?" And he said to him, "Your prayers and your alms have ascended as a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and bring one Simon, who is called Peter. He is lodging with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea." When the angel who spoke to him had departed, he called two of his servants and a devout soldier from among those who attended him. And having related everything to them, he sent them to Joppa. The next day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the housetop about the sixth hour to pray. And he became hungry and wanted something to eat. But while they were preparing it, he fell into a trance and saw the heavens opened and something like a great sheet descending, being led down by its four corners upon the earth. In it were all kinds of animals and reptiles and birds of the air. And there came a voice to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "By no means, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." And the voice came to him again a second time, "What God has made clean, do not call common." This happened three times, and the thing was taken up at once to heaven. Now, while Peter was inwardly perplexed as to what the vision that he had seen might mean, behold, the men who were sent by Cornelius, having made inquiry for Simon's house, stood at the gate, and called out to ask whether Simon, who was called Peter, was lodging there. And while Peter was pondering the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Behold, three men are looking for you. Rise and go down and accompany them without hesitation, for I have sent them." And Peter went down to the men and said, "I am the one you are looking for. What is the reason for your coming?" And they said, "Cornelius, a centurion, an upright and God-fearing man, who was well spoken of by the whole Jewish nation, was directed by a holy angel to send for you to come to his house and to hear what you have to say." So he invited them in to be his guests. The next day he rose and went away with them, and some of the brothers from Joppa accompanied him. And on the following day they entered Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them and had called together his relatives and close friends. When Peter entered, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter lifted him up, saying, "Stand up, I too am a man." And as he talked with him, he went in and found many persons gathered. And he said to them, "You yourselves know how unlawful it is for a Jew to associate with or to visit anyone of another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any person common or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without objection. I ask then why you sent for me." And Cornelius said, "Four days ago, about this hour, I was praying in my house at the ninth hour, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, 'Cornelius, your prayer has been heard and your alms have been remembered before God. Send therefore to Joppa and ask for Simon, who is called Peter. He is lodging in the house of Simon, a tanner by the sea.' So I sent for you at once, and you have been kind enough to come. Now therefore we are all here in the presence of God to hear all that you have been commanded by the Lord." So Peter opened his mouth and said, "Truly, I understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. As for the word that he sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. You yourselves know what happened throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee after the baptism that John proclaimed, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all that he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him on the third day and made him to appear, not to all the people, but to us, who had been chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name." While Peter was still saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word. And the believers from among the circumcised who had come with Peter were amazed, because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out even on the Gentiles. For they were hearing them speaking in tongues and extolling God. Then Peter declared, "Can anyone withhold water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked him to remain for some days. Amen. So in today's passage, we meet a man named Cornelius, who is a Roman centurion and also a devout man who feared God. And this alone makes him quite an interesting figure. After all, the Romans were known to not be particularly receptive to the God that we know. And it's perhaps because of Cornelius's noteworthy faith that God sends a vision to him, calling him to meet with a Simon Peter. And immediately, Cornelius obeys, and he sends his servants to find Peter. Meanwhile, Peter also has a perplexing vision of God bringing down all these animals that were considered unclean and declaring them clean. The Holy Spirit then gives Peter a heads up that Cornelius's servants are coming. Peter goes with them and meets Cornelius, and through this connecting of the dots of what the Spirit was doing in their midst, an astounding realization surfaces. And that is that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been made available even to the Gentiles. The events of our passage today mark really the beginning of the gospel spread outwards from the Jews to the Gentiles. Previously in the Acts narrative, we saw the gospel being given to Judea and Samaria, or to isolated individuals like the Ethiopian eunuch, and that's one thing. But now, for the Spirit to fall upon complete Gentiles was like a starting gun going off. And Peter recognizes through the vision that he was given and the account from Cornelius concerning his vision that God truly wanted salvation to be available to all. And we'll see in the coming chapters that this starts a completely new phase of the early church's growth, one even greater and more far-reaching than what the disciples thought was possible. We see clearly through Cornelius's story that the gospel is open to all. It doesn't distinguish between race or background or language. And although we might not feel these dividing lines today quite as much as Peter did, I think we could still often be reminded of this truth. It can be all too easy for us to consciously or unconsciously limit the gospel to people we deem to be receptive, whether that's because of how they look or how they speak or what their background is. We often hesitate to share about our faith to those who we don't identify with or who we can't relate to. We can be overly conscious of culture or bias or connotation. And in doing that, we basically declare that the gospel is not open to all. But we have to remember that the gospel, the Holy Spirit, a relationship with God, they're all gifts that surpass any hostility. It's a gift that bridges any gulf, that overcomes any boundary. And God wants us to bring this gift to those who are much like us, and also those who are nothing like us, all the same. Because whether we're Jew or Gentile, fisherman or centurion, we're all equally in need of his grace and love. So consider this today. You have the gift of the good news of Jesus Christ in you. And every person who you meet today, no matter who they are, every person needs that gift. So let's ask the Lord to give us the strength to share it today. Let's pray. Lord, we take this time to just be reminded that you have declared that your truth, the gospel message, is available to all. You want every single person on this earth to know you and to have relationship with you, to benefit from the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and to walk with Jesus every day. Lord, would you help us to take every opportunity to share the gospel? Would you help us to not consciously or unconsciously divide the world, divide the people we see as people who might be receptive or might not be receptive? but instead may we truly live this out. You've made the gospel open to all. That's why we have it as Gentiles. Lord, would you help us to continue passing on that gift to those who need it? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.